come to a place of understanding that you're not talking about a wispy smoke someplace. You're not talking about some emotion. You're not talking about some vague idea of the Holy Spirit. You're talking about the very person. He's a person. He's a person. He's not gender neutral either. He is a he. Okay? He's not a transgender. He is not somebody who's unsure of who he is or what he is. It's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. It is a he. And until we get that deep down inside of us and we truly focus on that fact, you need to be able to have a communication with the Holy Spirit and expect him to talk back to you. When Jesus said, my sheep know my voice, and the voice of a stranger they'll not follow, what's he talking about? Number one, he's talking about knowing the voice of the Holy Spirit, but also knowing the difference between if it's Jesus speaking to us or the devil. Amen? Because the devil will come like an angel of light, and he'll come in and whisper in your ear things you think it's of God. Once you know who he is, and he's there with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, the rest of your life. From this moment on, the Holy Spirit's with you, right next to you and in you. We'll look for some scriptures in a minute. Why is that important? Because you cannot get to 100% like Christ without him. Matter of fact, most of us won't get there with him. Because most of us aren't even trying. We all have our part to play in this. Amen? We all have our part to play. Well, we know that it's Christ working in us, the Holy Spirit working in us. The Bible says it's God working in us to will to do those things that please him. So he gives us the will, but we have the choice. He gives us the will, but we have the choice. Amen? And when you think that he's not watching, he's not seeing, he's not listening, it's the first step away from him. Matter of fact, the Holy Spirit is watching you, everything you do out here, and every thought you have in here. So it's a good thing not to lie to him. A couple of people found that out that we know about. At least we know about two. We don't know how many others have lied to the Holy Spirit and ended up prematurely gone. We don't know that. But it's good to be honest with him, by the way. Tell him the truth. I would like to, Lord, but I can't. I don't know how to do this thing. I can't do it. I've been away for so long. I've stopped trying. I've stopped chasing after you. I've stopped. Once you make that decision to acknowledge the truth to him, what did he say? The truth will set you free. It sets you free from the path you've been following, away from him, to the path that will bring you back to him. Because he's not finished with you yet. He's not finished with you yet. When we talk about the beauty that we sang the song, the beauty, and I said, stand up, all you've been changed by the Holy Spirit, that wasn't the end of it. He isn't finished changing you yet. You're going to get more beautiful as time goes on. Because why? Because he said, I'm coming back for a bride without spot or wrinkle. The glory of the Lord shall arise on you. And the dark world will see it. And they'll reject you. They will persecute you. They will. So you're going to have to not love your life. You got to love his life more in you than your own life. Amen? Because as the transformation goes on, you will look and sound less like the old man than the new one. You'll start sounding more and more like Jesus. People will come up and say something to you, and you'll just shut down from listening to it. You'll shut down from repeating it. You'll shut down from getting angry. You'll shut down from attacking to respond, to defend yourself, to all this stuff. You're just going to say, praise God. Praise God. Why? Because it isn't you that they hate. It isn't you they're persecuting. It isn't you they're rejecting. It's the Christ in you. Now, if you have not the Christ in you, it's you. Amen? If you haven't got Christ in you, that's you that they're talking about. But if it's the Christ in you being transformed, anytime you get around darkness, darkness hates light because it reveals the truth about who they are. You don't have to say anything. All you have to do is carry the very presence of God Almighty, the very presence of Jesus. You walk into a room, people will start, who's that? Why? Because you haven't left the very presence of God because you are walking with the Holy Spirit. You haven't left him. Whew. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. I'm excited because, first of all, the first thing we want to do is recognize that he is an individual. I would keep wanting to say a person. We could call him the person of the Holy Spirit. And there's a reason why we can call him a person. A person has three things going on in their life to designate that they are a person or an individual. Knowledge, will, and I forgot the third one. Feelings or emotions. If you find somebody like that, you know they're real. Knowledge, will, and feelings and emotions. And as we're going to look, the Holy Spirit has all of those. Amen? The Holy Spirit has all of that. So once you start connecting with the fact that he is a, I don't want to say a person, but that's the best I can come up with at this moment. Once you recognize that, you can talk to him as if you're talking to your best friend, or you're talking to your spouse, or you're talking maybe even closer than that. Amen? Because sometimes we speak even to our spouses things they want to hear, when in your mind you're thinking something else. Don't try that with him. He knows what you're thinking. All he's trying to get you to do is to acknowledge the truth so that he can work to set you free from what that truth comes out of. Amen? So he's there. He's our friend. I call him a friend closer than a friend. I know the word says closer than a brother. But he is more than that. And sometimes I got to be reminded of that because sometimes I just take him for granted. Sometimes I just see it as mine. Well, it's what goes on because God ordained this. And praise God, the Holy Spirit. And we're going to see all the works of the Holy Spirit. We're gonna, not all of them, but we're going to look at them. We're going to tear them apart and see what they mean. When it says that you were sealed with the Holy Spirit, what does that mean? You are sealed with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is doing work in you that we may not even understand or even recognize. Once you understand your position that the Holy Spirit has brought you into, and that his desire for you, remember what I said to you before? Remember God showed me, Dan did that message on the grieving one another, and he said grieve, and God says, that's what I meant when the Holy Spirit, he said, don't grieve the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 4:30, remember that? And I said to you, I said, this is what God showed me was, that when you grieve the Holy Spirit, what you're doing is, you're causing him to be concerned and worry about your life because it's heading in the wrong direction. How do we know that? Because if you look past that Ephesians 4, if you get down it will, it talks about getting angry, getting into places you shouldn't go, doing things you shouldn't do, saying things you shouldn't say. And the Holy Spirit's looking at you and says, wait a minute, don't go there. I know what it's going to cost you when you start getting angry without cause. If you get angry at a brother and you don't deal with it, it'll start eating you up. It'll cause you to have separation from the body of Christ. It won't cause them to have any separation. They're not going anything. Amen? Sometimes we get people angry. We don't even know we did it. We said something, and we didn't mean anything by it. We just said it, and all of a sudden they took offense at it. Amen. And so the Holy Spirit is saying, listen, don't go there. Learn to walk in love. Amen. Live your life. That means I can't get what I want. That's what we're trying to get you to a place. You get to do what God wants you to do. Because in that relationship, in that walk with Him, in that life in Him, the fullness of joy can be had down here. Peace that passes all understanding can be down here. Yeah, but what if? What profit a man if he gained the whole world but loses his soul? The soul is the mind, the will, the emotions. If you're miserable, rich, like most rich people are, if you're miserable, rich, what are you going to do to change that? Buy something else? Ain't going to work. Amen? Hallelujah. Okay. Let's look at this. Go with me into... That's not the way. I want you to go into... there you are. I knew. I got so many notes here. Go John 14. Okay, we're going to start. Father, we just pray that the Holy Spirit would reveal Himself to us through Your good word, Father, that He inspired the apostles to write. And we ask, Father, for divine wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of You. Lord, that this becomes life to us, not just words spoken, but life lived. We pray, Father, for Your Holy Spirit to bring divine revelation to us. We ask that You would open our hearts to receive Your Word. Hallelujah. Listen, I prayed that, and God said to me this. He said, listen, when you try to take everything, all right, you'll get nothing. What you need is something. Something that opens your heart. Wow, I didn't see that before. Or, wow, I forgot that. Or, thank you for the reminder. Whatever it is. Because if you listen to all of it, you'll fall asleep. You understand that? God understood that. That's why He said, Father, open our heart to His Word. Amen? Jesus is the Word. Let that go into you. Say, okay, Lord, You're going to do a work in me. Show me through divine revelation what I need today. I've got a need today. I got a need. And the whole message may not be that need, but there is something in there because it's God's word that hopefully, prayerfully will meet your need. And when you walk away from here, you take it. And remember what I told you? I believe it was a revelation from God. He said, bring a pen and paper because God's going to give you a word. And you never know when it's coming. So why? Because when you walk out the door in your natural state, you will forget it. But if you take a moment and write it down, start meditating on it, all of a sudden God will bring divine revelation to you. In other words, it could be one word, and He'll expand it to be a book. Because one word always connects to something else, which connects to something else. And what He's trying to do is get down to the root of what's going on, not the surface. The surface, you'll eventually just walk away and because nothing changes there. But if there is something, if I talk to you about you saying you drink alcohol too much, the problem isn't drinking the alcohol, it's what's causing you to drink the alcohol. And I'm not talking about psychology, psychiatry, none of that. I'm not talking about that. I'm not trying to psychoanalyze you. I'm not doing that. I want the Word of God to take root deep within your heart to figure out why I have a problem with anger, why I have a problem with not trusting, why do I have a problem with gossip, why do I have a problem with these things? Amen? Why? Because that separates you from the life that God's trying to bring to you through His Holy Spirit. Amen? And that's what the Holy Spirit does. He constantly is down there rooting out things, getting things, tearing things up, and all of a sudden. Let me tell you something. Okay, I hope by the Spirit of God I'm doing this. Once He starts working in you like that, and you welcome that work, He's bringing correction to your life, when you welcome that, don't be surprised you fall back to it. Don't get upset about it. repent, Father, and then go ahead again. Because there's times when we're going to fall back because of the flesh is weak, but the Spirit is willing. Once you allow Him to start working in you, trust me when I tell you this, it goes that way at times. Moses wasn't perfect in all his ways. How many know that? Even when he was called a friend of God, God said, I speak to him face to face. I talk to you in dreams and in vision, but I speak to Moses face to face. That's an amazing testimony coming from God. God said that. And yet Moses still was unable to enter into the promise of God here on this earth because he disobeyed God. Closer you get to him, more required of you to be obedient to him. We got all kinds of excuses. But those excuses are no good where God's concerned. Amen? Oh, I can't because of that. Listen, God will speak to you in dreams. So even if you're sleeping, God will speak to you. He gave me a dream the other night. Still haven't figured it out yet, but God is good at that. Something great's coming anyways. But, all right? So let's let him. He's your companion. He's your helper. The Bible calls him your comforter. The word comes out parakletos. And I'm probably not saying it right, so forgive me, parakletos, which means comforter, which means helper. One who comes alongside. So you're not fighting this battle alone. You're not alone ever. Even in your most desperate moments, you're not alone. And you could be sitting in a crowd and feel alone. Amen? You can be in a crowd and still feel alone. But you're not. He's there right with you. The Holy Spirit of God. Jesus said, it's good that I go home. As a matter of fact, it's better that I leave. Now the apostles at that time, they're saying to themselves, wait a minute, we gave up everything to follow you. We left our businesses. We left our homes. We've been rejected by family members. We've been chased by the Romans. People hate us. People attack us constantly. Now you say you're leaving us right at this point? What am I going to do now? What do I do now? Can you imagine if Jesus came down and said to us right now, well, guys, it's over with. I'm leaving you. Oh, my God. And like them, when everybody else left and Jesus said, you know, unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, it said that many left him. And he turned to Peter and he said to the others, the apostles, are you going to leave me too? And he said, no, where else are we going to go? You have the word of life. Without him, we have nothing. So if Jesus left us, what would we feel like if we were there? Now, they didn't understand. In hindsight, we see it. In hindsight, because we have the Word of God and we have the Spirit of God in us, who we're going to learn, for people who say they can't understand the Bible, the Holy Spirit will teach you. Matter of fact, now listen, He may not tell you where the ands and the these and the thous are, but He will tell you the truth. And the truth is, love God, love one another. Out of these, all the law is already established, already hanging from all of that stuff. Don't worry about it. That's all you need to do. Walk in love. What more do you need? Well, I need to know this, and I need to know that. No. I remember many times people come up to me and say, I just need the deeper things of God. Here's the deepest thing you can come into. Learn to walk in love. Until you do that, don't go one step farther in God. Because God is love. And if you really want to know who He is, if you're not walking in love, what's love? Look at what it says in 1 Corinthians 13. You're going to find out what love is. There you go. You want to get deep in God? Get deep in love? You'll be in God deeply. Amen? And that's all it takes. But because we're all walking in that already here, we're going on. Amen. We've already established the basics. We are lovers.
Yes, we are.
But not lovers of self. We're lovers of God. And because we love God, I love you because God is in you. Amen? And because I love you, I'm learning to love other people that don't have God in them. I love them enough to tell them the truth. And I'm getting to the point I can even start loving my enemy by the power of the Holy Spirit. Not mine. Not mine. By the Holy Spirit, grace and mercies. I have found it's easy to give grace to people. And I didn't always believe that. And I didn't always do that. I wasn't always one who gave grace easily. I expected people to live up to it, what God said, until God started showing me how bad I was. And I don't mean that in a negative way. He taught me to give grace because of the grace he's given to me. And in that grace, I'm able to give others grace. And I'll give them grace. It's just a leeway. I know God's going to work in you. As long as you're walking this earth, God's going to work in you. If you have the Spirit of God in you. If you don't, it's what I said in the beginning. If you're not as on fire for Jesus as you were at one time, you need to get there. Because you place somebody out, somebody else in that place of your first love. You get married, you say to your, I love you. But make sure. Now, we know there's four different loves, and I'm not going into all that. But never take Jesus off the throne and put Alex here or anybody else here. Amen? So, he's one who calls. He comes alongside of us. Jesus was also called the Comforter or the Helper. He was called the Advocate, which is the same word used as Comforter and Helper. And then God has also been called the Comforter and Helper. So we can see that through the Scriptures that the Godhead isn't one is the Comforter and Helper, but all of them are. And we know the Holy Spirit only does what he hears God, Jesus, speak to him. Understand there's three parts, right? We all know that. There's three parts to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and yet they're one. How is that possible? Ask God. We can try to figure it out. We can say, well, you got an egg, and the egg can be this, and it can be hard-boiled, and it can be soft-boiled, it can be gas, or it can be this, whatever. I don't know how egg gets to be gas, but whatever. Water, let's use water. Water can be frozen, it can be boiled and become steam or whatever. So we can see that you can try to figure all that out, but in truth you can't. Can you imagine three people having the exact same thoughts, doing the exact same things, but yet three distinct individuals? Can you imagine just three of us here coming into agreement on anything? Amen? Come on, can you? Yeah? On what? On anything. Okay, that sounds good. Okay, so you say that, but then somebody else is going through something and don't have that peace right now. How can I come into agreement about peace? I'm trying to catch you. You're right. There's things. The only thing we really can come on to agreement with, probably, 100%, is Christ on the cross, buried. Amen? We come into agreement, but we come from different directions, with different thoughts, different emotions. Not all fully in agreement. We can agree on it, but we can mentally ascend to it, and we can even spiritually agree with it, but eventually we're coming from different directions. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are all coming from one direction, one purpose, one plan. Amen? Hallelujah. All right, let's look at this. The first thing we want to do is determine that the Holy Spirit is an individual and that he has all the aspects of an individual. In other words, I gave you the three. If this is a person or an individual, having knowledge, having emotions, and having a will. Amen. Let's look at some scriptures. 2 Corinthians 2. If you go there with me. Oh, 1 Corinthians. I didn't do John 14. Oh, well. I'm so far ahead, I'm behind. I'm so far ahead, I get behind. Is that leading from behind? You remember? Yeah, okay. Okay. Yeah, give me an out. Good. Give me, all right. John 14, verse 16 through 18. All right, let me back up to 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Amen? If you love me, you will, and it actually means you will keep my commandments. In other words, he's not ordering you to keep them. He's saying you will. Amen? It's a natural outgrowth. If I love somebody, I'm going to try to please them.
Yes.
Amen? That's my goal, is to please you. It's the same thing with God, with the Holy Spirit. Jesus saying, if you love me, you will want to please me. Amen? All right. And it's interesting. It comes just before he says, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. That word helper is comforter, depending on what translation you're using. Okay? Parakletos, if it's in Greek. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. Amen? But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. So he's going to be in you and he's going to be with you. And he said it forever. Right? Forever. Not just Sunday mornings. Every day. So you have a helper and a comforter. And we're going to look at what he's going to help you do. He's going to show you how he comforts you and helps you to get through this life in a victorious manner. And look, everybody's got their idea of what victory is. Amen? Everybody's got the idea of what victory is. For me, victory might be over this. For someone else, victory might be over a sickness. And this one may be over this. Everybody's got their idea of what victory is. But don't. Get your mind set on what God says victory is. You remember once I told you the story, and I'll repeat it because it fits here. And one day God spoke to my heart and he said, I'm going to send you great people. Remember that? And I said to him, okay, what's greatness? Who's great people? How will I know they're what you consider great people? I mean, I don't want what the world considers great people. You know, the world looks at, you know, great people are people who wrote a book or people who did this or did that or made a lot of money or whatever. Greatness is, in the world's eyes, is totally different than what God says greatness is. And so I kept going to him, you know. And it was a long time before he showed me. A long time. I remember exactly when it was. It was in East Greenbush. We were living in, Diane and I had the upper room, which was meant the attic. We were sleeping in the attic. And I stepped out of the bed one morning, just a normal morning, stepped over, my foot hit the ground. As soon as my foot hit the ground, God spoke to me. And he said, greatness is not determined by what a man does, but greatness is determined by what a man allows God to do through them. So you could be somebody who digs a ditch, but if you allow the Holy Spirit to work through you, God considers you great. Think about that. I'm fully convinced. So now I'm always looking. Ever since that, and that's been 16 years ago maybe, something like that. Maybe not that much, but yeah, we've been 12 years there. Probably close to 15 or 16 years. I look at people differently now. Ever since that morning, I look at them differently. I look not at what they do, but what they allow God to do through them. Sometimes it's people who just help other people without getting any accolades or anybody sees it or knows it. They just do it. That's somebody who's great in my eyes, because he said, if you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. See, it's not about who's up front, including me. You could be sitting in that chair and God speaks to your heart to go over and bless somebody in some form or fashion. You just go out and share the good news with somebody. Nobody knows you're doing it. Look, there's nothing wrong with testimonies about, you know, and it builds each other up. It edifies, encourages one another to do the same things. But when you're doing things for God and nobody else has to know about it, we looked on Wednesday nights, we were talking about the Sermon on the Mount, and he's talking about doing it, you know, in your secret. You go pray in secret. You go bless people in secret. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing, and all these things. They're the great ones. They're the ones that nobody knows. They're the ones who lay down their life and just say, Lord, I'm doing this for you. What is it? They're great people. That's good. Amen? Because God's called us all to greatness. The Bible says, and he said in Jeremiah, I think it is, he said, those who know their God shall do great exploits. We recognize it's not us, but it's a Christ in us. It's the Holy Spirit of God working with us and in us. I've got such a long way to go to get to where I want to be in Christ. And I know the only way I'm going to get there is by the power of His Holy Spirit and His Word working together to change and transform me. I just pray that it'll be finished when the time comes, or maybe that's the day that I will leave this earth, is when finally that work is finished. I don't know. But I know one thing, it takes a lifetime to get there. Many failures, many up and downs, many disappointments, many times I want to quit, many times I want to turn away, and most of the time I just say, God, I can't do this. I need you to do it through me. Work with me. Help me. I can't do it. I try. And I'm not beating myself up over it. I just acknowledge the truth. I'm not going to beat myself up over it. I couldn't save myself. I certainly can't clean myself up. Amen? But I have a willing heart to do what He asked me to do. And when I fail, I get back up. I repent quickly and say, Father, forgive me. I messed up. So I can live this life with an expectation. We sang the song earlier. What was that? What was it? Expect. Come on, peoples. Yeah, that's it. And anticipate the inevitable. There. And sometimes we look at something like that and say, okay, it's an outward sign. Most of it's right inside of us. I anticipate God finished the work He's begun in me. I have that anticipation. It doesn't mean that I can gloat in it or I can glory in it. It just means I got to stay close to Him. Because when this is all said and done, my friends, we spend eternity with Him. And when we stand before Him, I want you to know what He wants for you. He wants to be able to say, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in little, come and enter into the presence. Amen. And this is what it's right. That's why the Holy Spirit was given to us, to prepare us and to help others. It's not just about us. If it was just about us, we could sit at home, let them do it, but it isn't. And why do we need to come to a church? Because we need to encourage one another. You meet where I end, you start. In other words, I can't be the fullness of it, but with you, we can become fuller. And if we could all do it, all walk in love, He said, they'll know that you're my disciples because you all love one another. And we all walk in love, all of a sudden, where I weak, you're strong. And together, we promote the kingdom of God. And the Holy Spirit comes and he starts using you in the gift of tongues, in you in the gift of interpretation, in you in the gifts of healings, in you in the gift of miracles, in you in the word of knowledge, in you in the word of wisdom. All these gifts he starts using. Why? Because I'll tell you what, if I had them all, walking him and all, I'd be way up here. And I'd tell you, why can't you guys be like me? But we need each other. And that's what the Holy Spirit brought us together. That's why it's so critical. Critical. You be led by the Spirit. Now, well, I'm getting way ahead of myself. We didn't even get finished anything what I wanted to get done this morning. Amen. I know. But I'm stopping there. Because I can't. I got, that's just the beginning of it, and I'll get maybe I got it all out of me right now, so when I come back next week, I won't have to go through all of it. But I am honestly, I'm truthfully, listen to me, I'm telling you God's honest truth. There's something great coming. You're going to all be part of it. You say, well, I can't. Look at me. I got this going on. You really believe that God can't use a donkey, that he can't use us? Amen? Come on. But you know what the difference is? The donkey led him. Right? The donkey led him. Let him. Come on, just say, yes, Lord, use me. Holy Spirit, okay, I gotta adjust you to get you to where I want you to be so I can use you the way I want to use you. And there you go into that famous old words of Jesus sitting in the garden, not my will, but your will be done. The reality of that comes to fruition. God starts wanting to use you. Yeah, but I don't want to be up in front of people. It's not what you want. It's what God wants. Because God says, I can use you to reach that one, that one can't reach him. And the whole purpose of this whole thing is that he transform you into the image of light. And the glory of God is on you. And when you walk into the darkness of this world, darkness starts running away. Because there's people he knows he wants to save right now that only you can reach. Only you can have the opportunity to reach them. Amen? All right. Let's pray and then we'll take up our offering. Father, again, we give you thanks for this time. We praise you. We give you glory. We are well aware, Father God, that we have fallen short of the glory and we have not fully extended our lives to say to you, your will be done. But we do that this morning, Father. We thank you for your Holy Spirit is starting to do the work again and finish the work he's begun in us the time he saved us. We are blessed, Father. We are so blessed. We want to just say thank you. Thank you. Thank you for setting us free. In Jesus' name.